This is Emily Thomas, and you are listening to the Mom Struggling Well podcast. Hey, friends, welcome. Thank you so much for spending time with me this morning. Or maybe if it's night, you're allowed to listen at night too. There's a lot of freedom here. Regardless of when you're tuning in, you're going to be glad you did. This is episode 92, and I'm talking to my friends Jim and Lynn Jackson. They have a website called connectedfamilies.org. They've been on before. They were on episode 55. They are just a fantastic resource, and they are people who have walked all the stages of parenting, and they have done research, and they have tried stuff, and they can tell us what works and what doesn't work, and why we should look at ourselves and how we're reacting to our kids, and why we're reacting in the way we are, and what to do to help our little kiddos make better choices. And even as they're older, they are a resource that I can't wait to share with you a second time. I told you about it last week, but they're doing a course this summer specifically related to sibling conflict. The tagline of the course is From Bickering to Bonding, and that is something that is desperately needed at the Thomas House. And so they're going to talk about that. They just give so many good tips, and I personally, and you'll be able to tell, I had a lot of aha moments as they were talking, because I personally, I'm just like you probably are too, completely overwhelmed by all the fighting, and just I wish it would stop because I don't exactly know what to do. But Jim and Lynn had great answers to all my questions, and I hope that I asked all the questions that you also had, because I straight up just do not know how to handle this stuff sometimes. So I know you're gonna love this. Before we get started, I wanted to tell you about this week's sponsor, PrepDish. If you're anything like me, you've got so much going on in that head of yours, keeping kids' fingers out of their noses, helping them not bite other human beings, keeping them clothed, keeping them out of the streets, keeping them with you in Target, keeping their sweet little angel fingers out of light sockets. Well, PrepDish has made it to where you no longer have to think about all that plus what's for dinner. PrepDish is a meal planning service, and every week you get an email, has the grocery list, has prep ahead instructions, so that all your meals are ready for the next week. You don't even have to think about it. Visit PrepDish.com/MSW, where the founder, Allison, is offering you, the Mom Struggling Well listener, a 2-week free trial. So try it out for free. You really don't even need to think about this, ladies. PrepDish.com/MSW. All right, guys, get out your pen and paper, and let's get on with my chat with Jim and Lynn Jackson as we talk about the dreaded sibling conflict. I know that a lot of people already know who you are, but will you just give us your elevator pitch about who you are and what you guys do?
Yeah. So we are Jim and Lynn Jackson, and we started a ministry organization called Connected Families in 2002 out of my experience working with high-risk kids.
And my experience working with sensory and behaviorally challenged kids and their parents.
So we were working with these kids, and we realized that things we were learning about how to work effectively with their kids, A, helped us work more effectively with our own kids.
Who were quite a challenge.
And our four kids, we affectionately tell people. Our three kids.
I'm doing.
I get things backwards, and you'll see what's about to happen here. Our three kids, we affectionately like to say, had four straight A's before they ever started school. They were our straight A kids until school started, which were the A's of allergies, asthma, acid reflux, and ADHD.
Oh, man.
So they had all three of our kids had all four of those things.
Okay.
And they were born 4 years apart. Lynn and I were fit to be tied, and we looked for the verse in the Bible that said, children, don't exasperate your parents, and there wasn't one.
there isn't one. So, you know, do you get the question a lot? Like, you guys can be parenting people because your kids must have been amazing.
They're really amazing now, but it took us, it was quite a journey.
Yeah, it's actually true that when our oldest son, Daniel, who we call our experimental child, was in about eighth grade, and we'd been teaching parenting stuff based on things we'd learned for a number of years, I looked at Lynn and I said, do you think this stuff that we teach really is effective? Because I'm just not so sure. I'm kind of scared about all of this. But we felt committed to stay the course and to keep working. And yeah, sure enough, as they grew into their high school years, our kids were dream high school students.
They were awesome.
They loved each other. They were responsible. We never talked to them about their homework. So by the time they're in high school, all this stuff that we wondered whether it was really helping them when they were young kids turned out to really affect their lives.
Okay. And we weren't constantly doubting, but there were certainly times where it was like, are we getting anywhere? But particularly in the area of sibling conflict, we saw a lot of cool fruit early on, but it took a while to know that we were really getting where we wanted.
Well, and we realized, too, as we grew up ourselves, that we were complicit in most of the problems that our kids had.
I know. That's the biggest problem, is that we are a part of it. Yes.
Yeah.
Well, they're doing what we've taught them.
And that's the worst.
And then we feel we don't like how that feels. And so then in order to deal with that feeling, we try to control their behavior more so they don't remind us of ourselves so much.
It's true. Now, okay, let me ask you, because so much of your stuff comes down to sort out your own stuff, parents.
Yeah.
Do you get pushback from that from parents?
Certainly we sometimes do, where parents want the quick fix. They want to know, what's the consequence for this behavior? They'll enter with that question.
Or they'll say, you know, my parents didn't have to think about any of this stuff and I turned out okay.
Okay.
And then I say, did you really? Can we probe that for just a little bit?
And then they're definitely not happy with you.
Well, then I've lost a client.
Yeah, hey. It's all right. Oh, my goodness. Okay, so you, I've done your course on Discipline That Connects that goes along with your book.
Yep.
Love it. Changes the way I do all the things. Like, I can't remember what the episode number was, but I had you guys on and everyone loved it. But now you're doing a course on sibling conflict. And as we approach summer, my kids like start summer really early and then they end summer really late. So I feel like we're mostly summer in my life. It's like an eternal summer, but it's just because I'm really nervous about it because of all the conflict. Because I literally have no idea what to do. So I wake up and sometimes before I get out of bed, I'm like, oh, what am I going to do today to keep them busy enough that they aren't at each other's throats all the time? And yet that's not my job. But what is my job? And so all those questions made me think, get on this show right now. Help me.
Well, and this is why we've built an online course to help parents with this very issue for the summer. You know, the truth is, though, there's actually a really cool piece, an article that was in Time magazine some years ago that talked about the new science of siblings. And it talks about the fact that parents, you can relax. It's actually okay that your kids fight. In fact, they put, what was it, Lynn? They put siblings that were under 5 years old, two siblings together in a room where there was a two-way mirror. And they put toys that each of them kind of thought of as their own toys in the room. Okay. And then they just viewed them through the mirror for about an hour or two.
Okay.
And the researchers concluded that on average, with all the kids they did this with, those under 5 year old kids started a new fight. You want to guess how often they started a fight about a new topic?
Oh my gosh. I know. In 5 minutes?
No, they're under 5 years old and it was 9 minutes. Every 9 minutes they started a new fight about a new topic. So they would fight for a while about the topic and then they would stop and then they would go on and fight. The kids that ended up over the long term that they paid attention to that had the most trouble weren't the ones who fought the most. They were the ones who didn't resolve their conflicts well.
Oh, I see where we're going here.
And another interesting tidbit is that adults who are close to their siblings usually fought a lot with those siblings. It's the adults who had a childhood history of just going to opposite corners of the house and ignoring each other were the adults that were the closest.
We had a few fights turn out bad, and so we're going to go to our own corners and play alone because it's too hard.
Yeah.
Or it's too painful, and so we're not going to do that. And then we just grow a life of being resentful of each other when mommy and daddy thinks, hey, those two don't fight at all. They're doing just fine. They don't really like to be together much, but those are the siblings who grow up and disconnect from each other.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Oh, this is so my reality that's making my skin crawl, but this is good. It's really good. Okay, so typical ways you said that parents engage sibling conflicts are the quick fix, to be the judge over the situation, and then to lecture and shame. So let's like break those down. I do all of them. I'm good at these.
Oh, I did all of those as well.
Well, yeah, I mean, if I was the sibling and I would, let's do, because we use our kids, I'm Daniel and I'm picking on Bethany and you would come in and do those roles.
Is Emily Bethany?
You want to be Bethany? You want to be the daughter?
Love being picked on. Yes.
So Emily, give me that. That you're not doing
That's
it right.
That's mine.
No, it's
stop taking it away.
You're doing it wrong. Off.
Mom,
stop it.
She doesn't know how to use that toy right.
Stop it. You are always doing this.
What do you mean I'm always doing this?
Yes.
She's always doing this.
Last week you did the same thing. You took her toy. You were just like bossing her around. That is not okay. Stop it. Not,
you guys can't see, but he is sticking
your tongue
his
out on the radio because people can't see you.
Oh, I wish there was this much laughing with the fighting in my house.
I know, and isn't that interesting that we can laugh at that when we're watching as a spectator?
Yes.
Or when we're
rolling. Someone else's kids. It's fine.
But, when it's real, you know, we become the judge, the quick fixer, the lecturer, the shamer. Mm-hmm. And
you know, and it's hard because, like, with my daughter, who's older, she picks on my son. And I do say, like, hey, I'm seeing a pattern here of this. And it's hard to pointing out a pattern and then the lecture and the shame. I think tone and your heart behind it's important. But I do feel like I'm throwing things back in their face a lot.
Right.
Just because it is a pattern.
Yeah. The research also shows that when people leave an interaction feeling ashamed, they're more likely to do that same behavior again.
Okay.
So the method that we've empowered parents with to help their kids really learn to resolve conflict has kind of research behind it all the way through.
So much like our discipline that connects materials, we suggest to parents that when siblings conflict, we've got a great opportunity. Instead of viewing it as a problem to fix and get this working right away so that I can get on with my life and the kids can get on with theirs, we have an opportunity to teach and train our kids in some really, really important stuff of life. Because the truth is, the way that we manage our kids' sibling relationships is a form of discipleship that's preparing them for life's most important relationships. And to neglect that hard work is to sweep under the rug all these problems with expedient apologies or, you know, forced consequences of some kind. So go to your room, say you're sorry.
Give her that toy back.
Go to your room and don't come out until you can say you're sorry. You give her that toy back right now and apologize. And then we force this, thinking we're teaching our kids to value apologies when what we're really teaching them is to say the expedient thing to get on with life.
Which is what we're trying to do because we're trying to make dinner.
That's what we're trying to do.
Yeah. Right. Okay. So instead, what?
Well, we call that place Crazy Mountain.
Oh, yes. That's where my house is.
Spirals out of control and it gets crazy. And we say things we wish we hadn't said as the kids say things they don't really care whether they said at this point. That's just what we're teaching them to do. And then we just get fed up and we send them to their corners until they can be quiet long enough for me to get to what I was getting to until this happens again.
Yes.
Give me a little space. And so it's our job as parents to lead the way off of Crazy Mountain. And we suggest that there's like, if you can picture Crazy Mountain like a true mountain and the volcano is spewing and there's disrespect going all over the place, it's our job to lead the way out of that. Okay. And there's a stream. There's a stream, Emily, and okay. There's a stream with four beautiful stones on it that leads across the stream to the meadow of reconciliation and restoration and celebration. Okay?
I want to go there.
Yeah, yeah. And you can, and we've seen parents go there, and the four stones are the stones of calming. And we don't just get our kids to go there with us. We have to lead the way. So we go to the stone of calming first.
Ah.
And then as we do the calming and we teach our kids about the calming and we help them figure that out, then we take the next step across. While they're on the calm stone, we take the step across to understanding each other. Okay. Understanding each other. And so we're going to talk about each of these in a little more depth in a bit. But as understanding happens, what did she say she felt? And what did you say you felt? And do you feel understood? Do you feel like you're hearing each other? Okay, you kids are really understanding each other now. Now, how do you want to solve it? That's the next stone.
Okay.
Is the stone of solving. How do you want to make this right? How do you want to solve this problem you've created amongst yourselves? And then the next stone that we lead across to is as they do that, even in little ways at the beginning, not this big, glorious, grand hug and kiss and we're best friends forever, but just a little glimpse of some progress here. Uh-huh. The stone of celebration is what cements this process to be stronger each time we go through it. Mm-hmm. And that's what makes it easy to sort of take that little step across into this meadow of reconciliation. So, you know, be helpful to talk, obviously, concretely with examples about each of these a little bit more. But that's this thing we call the peace process.
Okay, so number one, you're telling me it does get easier the more you do it.
Absolutely. If you walk your kids through this, if you're modeling it in your conflicts with your kids.
Oh, modeling.
What's your oldest daughter's name?
Lane.
Lane?
Yeah.
Elaine, we're having a really hard time right now, you and I. So let's calm down and let's do the peace process together. And you do it with one child, you're in control of 50% of the interaction.
I love that. I love control.
0% when it's sibling conflict.
True.
So model with one child and building that value, yeah. Building the skills, and then helping them to use it with each other.
Yeah, Lynn and I, both of us in our ways early on, learned to say this phrase when we were having our conflicts with our kids that were on a crazy mountain. You know, something to the effect of, you know what? I'm too upset right now to be respectful. I need to calm down and take a break. How about you?
And then let's come back later.
Let's come back and solve this once we've calmed down. So you want to talk again in 5 minutes? Okay. And then then not to go off to my thing and get distracted. And I mean, I did that. I got distracted. But the goal was, I got distracted. It was longer than 5 minutes, but let's keep doing this process together.
Okay.
So let's redo that skit and watch me calm, understand, solve, and celebrate. So I don't really know really what that conflict was about. We all just started screaming at each other.
Yeah, just might as well do some screaming.
So we'll see kind of how it unfolds.
She's building Legos improperly.
Okay.
And I don't like it.
And I don't appreciate your judgment about my Lego building.
Yeah, yeah. So we'll get into the role play.
Yeah.
Because those feelings lead us as children to act like this. Emily, you're doing it wrong again. Give me
whatever.
That.
I was just playing and you just back off.
Oh, you guys.
Give me that. No. Look, give me that.
So done with it.
Mom. It's really tough, isn't
Mom,
it?
Mom, yes, it's tough, but she's doing it wrong.
Well, Mom, have some big feelings about that.
Yes, I do, because she never listens to me.
I'm not sure the big feelings are getting us to a good solution. So let's calm down and everybody find a comfortable spot to relax. And I'll set the timer for 5 minutes and we'll give it another try. Okay.
Yeah.
So yeah, your tongue was sticking out there, but that was probably had some words that you could have said that would have been more respectful. But so I want you to calm down until you can figure out what you might have said that would have been really
clear.
It's not
even my fault. If she would play with the toys right.
I am not doing anything wrong.
Okay. Well,
I'm just playing by myself over here.
Do you want to keep arguing or do you want to solve it?
I want to solve it.
I'm not going to control your relationship. You can keep arguing or you can take a break and solve it. And
I feel like solving it's the right thing to do, Mom. So that's what I want to do.
So I'm going to tell you a story. Where's my phone? I want to get out of, I don't know if I can find this, but I got a text message from a mom who's been practicing this peace process with her whole family. She's got 5 kids.
Yeah.
And she's one of these moms who kind of loves to report to us what she's learned and how she's applied the principles that we teach. And so she texted us one day and she said, we're on an epic road trip and we're in Colorado Springs now. And on the whole way out, our kids had one huge fight. And the fight ended with my 7-year-old saying to my 5-year-old, I'm sorry I blew up so much at you. Will you forgive me? And the 5-year-old saying, yeah, I can be pretty disagreeable sometimes. Will you forgive me?
Oh my gosh.
They forgave each other and they played wonderfully together in the car the rest of the trip. And that was the one blowout that this family had. And so, yeah, little by little, even youngsters. Now their older siblings model this process as well.
Right.
Because they'd learned it now for a couple of years.
That's great.
But it's stuff. But it didn't start that way.
Certainly.
It started with persistence.
Right. Yeah.
Okay, so can I just ask practically how, if a mom's not calm?
Yeah.
I just think some moms don't know how to calm down. And so it just feels like too far of a reach to know how to lead our children to be calm.
Yeah.
Well, what percentage of the conflicts that your kids are having demand your immediate, absolute, right now attention?
Hmm. That's a really good point.
Knowing that they're going to probably settle down and start a new fight in 9 minutes.
That's such a good point. Yeah, I want to be Johnny on the spot. Like, I want to die on every hill. My husband's like, what hill do you want to die on this hill? I'm like, I totally do, but it's not a good choice.
So almost none of their conflicts demand immediacy.
You're right.
And so we've had parents tell us that they wrote a verse that helped center them and put it on the bathroom mirror. And when their kids would get all upset, they'd go, you know, I want to be respectful to you when I deal with this and I'm not ready. I need to go to the bathroom for a bit. Or rub lotion. Yeah. Or
that's a good sensory thing, rubbing lotion.
Yeah. Yeah. There was a mom who kept a little trial bottle of hand lotion in her pocket. And, you know, when things got crazy, she goes, wait a minute, guys, I just need to calm down. She wouldn't say anything else. She'd just start rubbing the lotion until she had a plan. And then she was able to engage really respectfully. And it really changed the dynamics in their home. So part of this is talking with kids outside of their conflicts about how their brains work,
okay,
and helping them to understand they're in charge of their bodies. And when they take authority over their bodies aren't going to be in charge of them. So they can use their bodies to calm their brains down and talk about ways they do that, mm-hmm. you know, to just go find a quiet spot. Everybody put in a, so it's not go to your room. It's everybody find a spot in the house that you really like. Maybe it's sitting by a window and looking out. Maybe it's a place with your books. You know, maybe it's the big comfy beanbag chair. Find a spot that your body likes to go.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
So there was one family whose kids would just not separate. I mean, they had two twin girls who had violent conflicts with each other several times a day, you know, scratching, hitting, biting, kicking, you know, it was really rough. And so the parents just worked for a couple of weeks on just the first step of separating from each other. And they kind of told them the big picture, but we're just going to help you learn to just break apart when it gets really
rough.
And calm
down and calm yourself.
And calm, yeah, and go someplace okay. to down. And then they talked with them about how encouraged they were and that they were starting to learn this. And they just, that one little thing, and the kids learned to do that. And then they gradually taught them the other steps.
Okay.
So it's helping them to see when you guys do this, then you're protecting each other and you're learning to be safe. It's awesome.
Okay.
So lots of different ways that you can teach that first calming step.
Okay, can I ask, since they are doing this every 9 minutes, how do you know which conflicts warrant the peace process? That just, I know this takes more time, obviously. You're like really investing in it. It's discipleship and it's an opportunity. But
yep.
practically speaking, I can see that I would never get to do anything else other than this if I entered in with every fight.
Yeah. So I mean, you may have some thoughts about that.
Yeah.
Mine are you know, we've got in the context of the online course that we teach this, we deliver some downloads that help parents proactively explain this stuff to their kids. Like, how do you talk with your kids about this so that they know what it is?
Okay.
So, you know, that's A, is just kind of lay out this process for your kids so they kind of understand it. And then B, a simple question that parents have learned to ask quite effectively is this one of those things? And again, this is where we empower our kids to learn the process and then start to think and answer some of this stuff for themselves. The question is, you kids are having quite a tussle there. Is this one of those you need my help with, or can you solve this one on your own?
Okay.
And even that question, we've been told by multiple parents,
stops it.
Compels the kids to just kind of stop in their tracks, look at each other and go, no, we can solve it, and then settle down and put that peace process into place as they learn it.
So good.
And so now mom doesn't have to do anything other than ask a quick question. Boy, this is getting pretty volatile. Is this one you need a little help with, or do you want to take care of it yourselves this time?
And then you can also add, you remember yesterday, you guys did such a good job of working that out. I think you can do it again. But if you need some help, I'm here for you.
Okay.
And just that kind, I'm here for you. I want to encourage you. Helps kids rise to their best.
Yep.
You can also questions like, how might you solve this in a way that you feel really good about when you're done?
Okay.
So those are the kind of thoughtful, encouraging questions that can help kids just right away become more more independent.
Well, and I think it's good to define for your kids, you know, when the conflict gets to be where you are hurting each other physically and not backing away from that, or continuing to hurt each other with words and not backing away from that, we'll know that that's one of those conflicts that that mom or dad is going to get involved in, because we don't want you to learn those habits. We love you so much that we want to do the work of keeping you from learning those habits and learning to honor one another. You know, we all blow up and we all get upset and we all say things we wish we hadn't said. That's normal. That's okay. But if we make habits out of that, and that's how we go through this all the time, that's, you know, do you want that? No, none of the kids want that. Okay. So tell me again, what did I just say is when I'm going to help you, and then let them repeat it to you. So their brains start working on it and forming that brain loop for themselves, instead of just having mommy or daddy tell them the answer all the time, have them repeat it for you.
Right. Okay. It's one thing if kids can't figure out how to share a toy, but it's another thing if they start to hurt each other's hearts.
Yeah.
And so that's sort of a watershed thing. Is this just about we're both being selfish and we can't figure it out? Or is this about I'm doing damage to my relationship?
For sure. Okay. The next one after calm is understand. And I feel like kids and, you know, grownups, we're just so focused on ourselves, we don't even know where they're coming from or care, frankly.
Right. Yeah.
So how do you build questions that make more than like maybe one word answers or?
Well, a key piece is, again, as you picture these four rocks, calm, understand, solve, and celebrate, is to know I got to get to understand first. So I have to kind of figure out, what's really going on in each of my kids?
You as a parent. Okay. Yeah.
Well, and so, or even before that, do I understand what's going on in me?
Yes.
I'm so upset right now. Like that thing that Lynn and I on Variations learned to say, I'm so upset right now. That's an understand me thing, yeah, that I'm not going to say anything respectful. So I need a break.
Yeah.
That shows the importance of looking inward and understanding me. And we model that for our kids, or just knowing, you know what, I keep judging that the older one is at fault, and I have a judgment about him or her that compels me to go after them and set them up as the bad guy every time. And that's probably not helpful. That, mm-hmm. And when I look at my own heart and ask myself, is that how I want to treat him? The answer is no. Mm-hmm. So to do this self-reflection about, you know, what's my attitude towards my kids when this happens? Because, you know, parents, when we ask that question, like, well, if I was a spectator to this and the thoughts that are going through your head are a sign on the wall flashing out the words of your thoughts, what thoughts would I read? And it's like, that kid is a problem, or I shouldn't have to deal with this. Or
he's such a bully,
or he's so selfish, or I've got too much to do to have to deal with this right now. And like, are we aware of that stuff? Do we understand that stuff in us? Because if we don't, it's going to be very difficult for us to start ushering our kids into understanding.
Absolutely. Yeah. I love that. I love the hope that you guys give that you need to look at this, but then because we've looked at this, we can go forward.
Right.
Because I sometimes think for myself, and I think a lot of my listeners, we're afraid of what, if we're honest about what we think about some of our kids or some of their behaviors or some of their futures or, you know, whatever, we don't want to go there.
Yeah.
So we just have this anxiety and we blow up because we're afraid.
And that's where really spiritual formation just comes alive, because this is the reality of where we live, and we can bring grace and faith into it. It models amazing things to our kids. So I had a lot of those judgments about my son picking on my daughter, because I was a daughter that and I was a younger sister that got picked on by my older brothers.
Okay.
I had to bring that to the Lord and go, Lord, there's an incredible opportunity here, and I want to give to you this judgment of Daniel and let go of it. And my kids noticed when I entered differently, and they saw faith come alive.
And my judgment was different because I was the oldest who picked on my sisters. And my thought was that Bethany's just a wimp. She needs to buck up.
Interesting.
Yep.
So then what dynamic do you suppose that creates between Lynn and I? And do we understand it? And are we working that? Because if we're not, it's just all a game. It's Emily, it's just behavior modification management. Look good. Figure out how to look shiny for everybody so that you can measure up to the public standard, instead of saying, Lord, I'm willing to take every thought captive to Christ's obedience here.
And taking thoughts captive seems more exhausting, but pretending and faking it is so much more tiring
over the long
haul. I used to actually hate that verse because I thought, now I can't even think a mad thought, you know. But it was really about bringing God's wonderful grace and truth into my heart to get rid of the yuck and the junk that was keeping me stuck. So it became a liberating verse over time. So anyway, as I began to enter these interactions more thoughtfully, then I could do that rock more calmly, that could do that rock of understand. And I very purposely would enter with big connective empathy statements like, you guys, this is really hard, isn't it? You know, just coming in with understanding that sibling conflict is hard versus you're always the one at fault.
Yeah.
So if we extended it out, I might have said stuff like, you really love building Legos in a really cool way. Mm-hmm. And Emily, you really love just doing your own thing so creatively. And it's hard when you think you have different ideas about the same project. So starting with my empathy towards you guys. So if the chaos had more time and I could have helped you calm down first, then I would have engaged with those kind of empathy statements.
Okay.
And then it would have been easier to say, so Jim, can you think about how Emily might have felt in that situation?
Right. And what Lynn does by saying those empathetic words to us then puts words in our mouths to start saying to each other, well, I guess she do things her own way.
Yeah.
And Emily, what's it like to be Jim? I guess he likes to build it by the directions.
There's no brain research behind this, because when kids' brains are in fight or flight, the blood flow to the cortex gets kind of shut down. So
for sure,
kids cannot access their empathy center, which is in the front right side of the frontal lobe, when they're upset. And so we can engage and help them with that by identifying their emotions. So if I say, wow, you are really frustrated because you love to make things so cool, then he goes, yeah, I was frustrated. And then that emotional awareness calms the center of their brain.
Yep.
And it's almost like a stepping stone to be able to enable that front right side of their brain. So they go from the fight or flight center to then activate the left language side, which is a stepping stone to activate the empathy for other people center.
I just had this picture of lights on brains.
Yeah.
And like, until the green light in the front right side of mom or dad's brain lights up,
yeah,
the green light in the front side of little kids' brains is never going to light up.
So it's not going to go, Jimmy, do you know how your sister feels?
Jimmy doesn't care.
His brain is going, mayday, mayday, mom is attacking.
Red light flash, red light flash, red light flash.
Right. Oh, so that's the facilitating understanding. You know, there's lots of practical tools in the online course that help parents just make that come alive.
Well, one of the things we would, we literally would, we'd put words in our kids' mouths and then we'd say, Jimmy, what did you hear Emily say? I heard her say she didn't like it and that she thinks I'm mean, but I'm not mean. No. I want her to say that part. I want to make sure she's listening to you too and understanding you too. But what did you hear her say?
Okay.
And then give it both. And then, okay, now say it to each other and talk to each other as you're able. Yeah. And then, you know, pretty soon kids are talking to each other. And then when you go in and say, is this one of those you need help with or can you solve it by yourselves? The kids have been equipped. You've equipped them little by little by little.
So good. Okay. And so then solving, my kids don't have that many good ideas about solving.
You may find as you kind of work them through this process and they feel really understood that they're going to be able to access the creative parts of their brain better.
Yeah.
So they may start coming up with better ideas.
Okay.
But you can help them with that with just simple things of, okay, guys, you're both fighting over this. What would be some creative ways that you could each get a little bit of what's important to you? Mm-hmm. So you may want to identify what's important to you in this situation. And is there a way that you could each get a little bit of that?
Okay.
Or could you know, is there a way to take turns or a way to just have more fun playing with the two of you together? So you just kind of start asking questions.
That's really good.
One of the things that really helped with this solution phase was to ask my kids, is there something that you wish you'd done differently? And that question dropped their defenses. And often then we were able to do a do-over in the situation.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
And then that was kind of their solve.
Yeah.
But if I just came in and, you know, and they were just going back and forth about, well, I didn't like that you and I didn't like that you, and they were stuck. And I just said, okay, well, so we've got that part covered. We know that you didn't like what the other person did, but is there something you wish you'd done differently so that you would have felt really good about this interaction and felt like you honored yourself and the other person?
Okay.
You know, helping kids to get to a place where everyone feels cared about versus it was fair right down the middle.
And that's what we coach parents to do is invite kids to put words to their own solutions and help them as much as they need it. So do you have any, I mean, you said your kids don't have any ideas about how to solve it. I'm guessing how it goes right now is you guys, you're having a tussle and you got to solve it. How do you want to solve it? And like Lynn said, the more you do this process, the more their brains will open up to be creative. But even then they may say, I don't know.
Yeah.
I don't know. Well, I've got some ideas. Do you want to hear them or do you want to take some time to think of them on your own? And if you have a hard time coming up with your own ideas, then I'll let you know a couple of mine and you can decide what to do with those. But until you figure out how to resolve this with each other, because these are relationships God gave us to honor and they're the most important ones and they're going to train you for relationships someday, I'm not going to have you go out and be with friends. No friends today until you're willing to make this right with each other.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Okay, so I do want to talk about that. I know I got your email about should you make your kids apologize?
Mm-hmm.
We do, but it doesn't always ever really come from the heart.
Oh, I wish the listeners could have seen your face on that one.
That's great.
So what, how do you move past that? Because I think my kids would be fine not apologizing and then just, can we go swimming? I'm like, no, how can we, like, so maybe it is, you just stop everything.
Well, part of it is, again, outside of the heat of the moment, what are you doing to build the value of true reconciliation?
Okay.
And that's a really important piece. And we talked about our relationships are God's gifts to us that are ours to protect. And when we sin against each other, it breaks the closeness in that relationship. And it's not enough to go, sorry. We have to put our hearts back together. And so as we model that, again, modeling that in our relationship with them and making sure when we have conflicts with them that we put our hearts back together with our kids and we celebrate how good that feels, then it's much easier to say, kids, this is really important. Matthew 5, 23 and 24 is a great verse about that because it's where someone is giving something at the altar and the scripture says, hey, if you remember right then that somebody has got something against you, you go and make it right. And then you come back. So it basically tells us this is our number one priority in life to keep our relationships connected with each other. So you talk about that verse with your kids and you say, I'm going to hold you accountable to reconnect your hearts. So for our kids, you know, we'd help them calm down and then we'd say, okay, it's your job to solve this. So and talk it over until you can meet in the middle for a hug and you know your hearts are ready to be reconnected. Because we built that value, they knew they had that responsibility.
Yeah, and so I mean, you started out by saying, well, my kids just don't care. They don't want to resolve. That's probably because they've learned that they don't have to in order to get on with life. And so if the answer is, well, you don't have to, if you don't want to go to the thing tonight, or if you don't want to be with your friends tomorrow, or if you know you can hold on to this as long as you want, but as long as you hold that in your heart and aren't willing to make it right with your sister,
the privileges of life are not available to you.
The privileges of life aren't available to you. Yeah, yeah. Whatever's distracting you from making this right, those are on hold for a while.
It's such a contrast to what parents often do, which is you lose screen time for 2 weeks, you know, because of how you treat your sister versus the privileges are on hold until you really reconnect your hearts. Mm-hmm.
That's really good. Yeah, because I do stop until they make it right. But quote unquote, make it right is say some apology words.
Sorry.
Yeah. Will you please forgive me for being mean? It's like,
Yeah, so there's where some of the solve ideas that are in the course and that we've written about can really come to life, because that's that thing I talked about earlier. Like, that's the apology of expedience. That isn't really a heartfelt apology. It's just what I need to say in order to get on with life.
Yeah.
And so you used your words to hurt your sister and you heard her say how she felt. And so before you have those privileges back, you need to use your words either in writing or with your voice in a way that restores what you've said. And we know, and this was very real in our house, we know that it takes four kind and true things to offset one untrue, hurtful thing that you say to somebody. And so making it right is about, and you said this, you did this with each other, you both said hurtful words. So when you're ready to come together and say four things that are kind and true to each other that are sincere, and we'll check with each of you to make sure you feel like these are really real, then privilege is on hold. And when you do that, then you can get on with your privileges.
Okay.
And we talked about Ephesians 4:15 and speaking the truth in love. So again, building that value outside of the heat of the moment.
Yeah.
How does this work with older kids, teenagers, high schoolers?
Yeah. So part of our learning with this was, as I mentioned at the outset, before we started Connected Families, I worked with the youth organization that served high-risk teens. And I mean, kids were vicious to each other. And it was ugly and it could be hurtful. And we did what we called a mediation process with young people, which was about sitting down. So in order for you to have the privilege of being back in this program again, and if they didn't want to, then there wasn't much we could do.
Right.
But almost all of them, because we had built joy in the space and joy in the relationships that kids had there and joy in the experiences that we had together working as teams, they were motivated to do this work. They just never had been taught it. So the mediation process is a process of listening, repeating. So in order for you two to be reinstated into programs, we're going to do this little process with you where you sit together and you listen to each other and you repeat each other and you make a plan for how you're going to prevent what happened from happening again.
Okay. You found that it was, I mean, it's just as effective.
Right.
Well, I will say, as kids get older and the habit of doing it the way they've done it is ingrained and it's too much work for them to learn this, there can be much more resistance, which is why we put a target on, you know, working with parents with single digit age kids around this.
Good. Okay.
And, you know, one of the services that we provide to parents whose kids are a little further along is coaching, because they want, you know, parents want to know. And as the habits are more ingrained and kids are older, the way things look and the way things work is just much more complicated by all of the messes and the baggages and the unique histories. And Tolstoy said in a book, I forget which book, that every good family. Anna Karenina, every happy family is alike in the same ways. Every unhappy family is unhappy in all kinds of different ways. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, the older that you get, the more complex it becomes, which is why we invite parents to talk to us about that. And we put together a 4-session package that kind of goes through our four principles and helps us make decisions based on their reality not based on just our ideas and shoulds for them, but you know your kids, you know what will work, you know how they'll respond. Is that going to be effective, or what would, if not, what might be effective with that child?
Now, you mentioned that you, in your work, were building joy-filled spaces. I think that some of my listeners and women that I've talked to, they did not grow up with joy-filled spaces in their homes. And in their personal life, they do not have a lot of joy-filled spaces in their own hearts. And where do you send people who don't feel hopeful about their current situation so that they can bring hope to their family?
Yeah. Well, it's an important question. And when we hear that from a parent, our first question in response to that is, in your life, if you didn't have it in your home, where are the places, who are the people that you have experienced even little glimpses of joy with? And and this is always an interesting question. Have you had a church experience where there was a place that you could just be safe and have joyful experiences with people in a congregation? Because the church, I mean, the church is the hope of the world. And if the church is functioning in, it's never perfect, but if the church is functioning largely like it ought to be, there's places, there's pockets, there's small groups, there's women's groups, there's events where people can go and just kind of enjoy each other for a while, connect one another in joy-filled spaces. And so find those spaces, pay attention to what they look and feel like. As possible, bring your kids along with you into spaces like that. So you as a family can start to experience these things together, you know, as the motivator to further learning.
Yeah. Can I just ask you guys personally, would you say that you tend to be really upbeat and happy, positive people, or you grew to that in your parenting? Because I think sometimes you're so downtrodden. It's so intense, you know?
I totally was very negatively oriented.
Okay.
I sort of did a personality shift from that family dynamics when I was about six, and I became negative, pessimistic, critical.
When you were six or when your kids were?
When I was six, and that just defined me growing up.
Okay, wow.
When I was in college, somebody said, "You're the most sarcastic person I know." So that was how I entered parenting, and it was very difficult.
Now, wait a minute. I was not attracted to that woman.
Well, I can put on a happy face when I was dating, but boy, did all that come out again when I had kids.
It is true.
We were shiny, just like most engaged couples.
we both put our best foot forward, and we're quite nicely attracted to each other. And it just so happened that the icebergs of our reality underneath were aligned in such a way that they didn't run into each other until after we'd kissed a few times.
It was too late.
And then the iceberg started to turn, and there was separation, and boy, did it get challenging in a hurry to find closeness between us. But yeah, Lynn struggled quite early on. And I mean, honestly, you know, I had my own issues and they were different, but I brought lightheartedness into it to a point, and then I would just blow up.
Okay.
You know, and then I would get angry and demanding and put my hands on my hip and start yelling the way that I'd learned to yell in the home that I grew up in some. And
okay, that's just encouraging, because I feel like hearing you and what you've done, it just seems like you're all just shiny, happy people. So, of course, this goes well for you.
No, not at all. But I do want to just mention briefly a mom who came from that really hard place of just she felt like her family was in chaos. She was separating from her husband. Her three kids were just really could be vicious with each other. Their oldest son was just, he could explode with really hurtful words. And she just began to really dive into these principles. And there was one time in one of her interactions with him that she just got down on her knees and said, you know, after he exploded with verbal awfulness, and she just said, "You have such strong words, and God has given you these big words for good reasons, and we can help you use them that way." And they just began to sob. And in her mind, she said, "This is going to get us somewhere." So I think that phrase is what I would want to encourage a mom like that with, is you can begin to make little steps forward, and it's not going to just change everything at once, but you can have that sense of, this is going to get us somewhere.
Yeah.
As I just continue to bring grace to my kids. And we've seen so many parents, as they, by faith, bring grace to their kids, it's like the Holy Spirit reparents them.
Yep.
deep spiritual transformation. The family with the violent twins, that mom has gone through such spiritual transformation in her life about what it means to be parented, what it means to parent, what it means to be a child of God.
Yeah. I love that.
That's the hope. So in this, it kind of leads us to that last celebrate principle, which is whatever goes a little bit better, to put your focus on that. And that really makes grace come alive. Mm-hmm. So if your child is like screaming some pretty awful stuff, you can look at them and go, buddy, you're not using your hands to hurt. You're keeping people safe with your hands. Okay. So let's calm down and solve this. That's that one little thing that went better, is he didn't slug his sister this time. You kept your sister safe. Awesome.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And that's just a manifestation of grace. And it begins to really change the momentum in people's families.
Oh, that's so powerful. I struggle with grace because I don't know when to apply it, when not to apply it. But I love the idea of picking one good thing that feels doable.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Whatever we pay attention to, we get more of.
Yep, that's true. Hmm. I have no idea what I was going to say.
Oh, I'm sorry.
It's all right.
It was amazing.
I'm sure it was about to be the most amazing thing I've said this whole podcast.
Oh my gosh. You guys, I feel so hopeful now. I'm going to go wake my kids up and see if I can have a positive.
Celebrate with them.
Celebrate something. With them. So tell me, from the online course, which I'm taking and I can't wait, what will people, they'll learn these things and what else? Like, why do they need to sign up?
Well, so we essentially just gave away the outline for the course and some of the stuff that we say in the course, which is good. And we're fine with that.
Yeah.
Honestly, our best hope is that all the people who listen to this get it and don't need to come to our online course because they get it and they figure out how to apply these principles. But what we know is that parents will say, yeah, those are really compelling ideas. I like how that sounds. I tried it a little bit. I tried it a little bit here, a little bit there, and it kind of helped. But then now we're right back where we started and I still feel stuck. I need more help for these ideas to come to life.
Yeah.
So that's who we built the course for. We're happy to talk about this and in every way that we can. But we built this course for people to come and get more, more examples, more vignettes, more practical ideas,
more role plays,
more stories, more access to the community of people who are taking the course together. Mm-hmm. So when you take this course together, people interact in it. There's already a few who've kind of started and trickling in, and they're putting their answers in, and you can read what other people say, and we engage with people as they, every once in a while there's a question and we answer the questions. We have a course moderator who engages with the cohort of people who are taking it.
We have picture illustrations for kids. We even have a couple of videos that are aimed specifically at kids.
Okay.
Some of the parents have brought kids in to watch the videos with them.
Yeah.
Particularly in the first session where there's actually video testimonials of a family with some pretty cool kids that are like 8, 9, and 13 or something like that.
Okay.
Of how the peace process changed their relationships and their family.
Yep.
Okay. And so kids, especially kids that are a little younger go, oh, those guys are cool. We could do that. Kids can watch alongside parents.
Well, and there's videos we made for children as
right.
well.
Right, there's two that we
and
made
then,
for children.
Are there outtakes?
Oh, I don't think so.
No outtakes. Sorry.
Oh, man. I love an outtake.
But we just didn't. It was all so smooth. There were none.
Take one.
Perfect. Or we were under a deadline to get this done and we just needed the main stuff out.
We already had outtakes in this little podcast. So
Lynn and I, if you spend much time with us, learn that we're kind of a living outtake.
You guys are great. Such a breath of fresh air.
You're going to take the course.
Oh my gosh. Yes.
Are you going to engage a bunch of your following and have them take it with you?
Telling as many people as I can.
That's awesome because, it's really fun for you and your community to kind of do this sort of thing together and get to know each other a little better as much as virtual relationships allow.
Absolutely.
People tell us the community building that they experience is often really rewarding for them as well.
It's really fun to see parents encouraging each other like, oh, that was great, that kind of thing.
Yes. And it does seem like you said, like you did tell us what you're going to tell us in the course, but it's like you pick up one piece of it and look at it from all the different facets. And then it actually is something you can apply because you understand the concept really, really thoroughly.
Oh, and that's another thing in the course. Maybe you said this. I didn't recall hearing it. There's homework. There's here. Stop here. reflect on this, go give it a whirl, come back and report what you learned.
Mm-hmm. Which really increases the
learning. That cements the learning.
Absolutely. Well, I can't wait. Thank you guys for talking to me.
Well, it's great to be with you, and we look forward. Well, hopefully we can make it down to Dallas Way and hang out and share air sometime.
I'm so nervous, though, about you seeing my kids. I know they're going to miss you. Do you people get nervous about you?
Sometimes, yeah. But we
can tell you enough stories about crazy Jackson life.
We diffuse that pretty quickly by just our own quirkiness.
So. Okay, good. Fine. You can see my kids. All right. We'll talk to you guys soon.
Ah, love talking to those guys. Did you simultaneously feel like you were messing everything up? Because when they talk about it, you're like, oh, that totally makes sense. But then, at least for me, I also feel so hopeful because the way they present it is so clear and it makes so much sense. You can just tell that it's going to work. And I've tried it, and it does. In fact, since I interviewed them, I immediately went looking for conflict, which I can tell you I've never done in my life. And when my kids started fighting, which happened basically immediately, I took them through this. And you guys, we had the most hysterical time. I have never had a fight end that well with everybody so happy with one another. And then we got the opportunity to do it a couple more times that day, and we kept going through the four steps to where now my kids know what the steps are. So one example was my son was making faces at my daughter, and my daughter found this incredibly troubling, and my son felt 100% justified in sticking his tongue out because of something she had done to him the day before that hurt his feelings. And so we talked through it. Some of the solutions they came up with his face making was to he could always wear a mask around the house so nobody could see the faces he was making. So anyway, it just turned into like a really fun time. And then I said, okay, well, the final step, and they're like, celebrate. So every single time though, they asked, could we please have cake? And if we had cake every 9 minutes, it would be awesome, but it would not be the best choice. So we found other ways to celebrate, like with dance parties. My very favorite line from this whole interview with Jim and Lynn, and one that has already been used a ton at the Thomas House this week, is the privileges of life are not available to you until you're willing to work this out. Oh man, I want to like cross-stitch that on a pillow. That shows that I'm like a grandma, but maybe I should have it hand-painted on a pallet board sign. That would be much more hipster. Whether you cross-stitch it or paint it, it definitely is probably something that you would want to say in your house too. It's just hysterical. And also sometimes you just need to say things that make you laugh as you're parenting your kids, because at least that's what makes it even remotely palatable for me, is if I'm having a good time. So basically this week, I would love it if you struggle well by signing up for this course with me. We'll be able to interact in the comments. We'll be able to practice what they're teaching, see the videos. You guys, I would not encourage you to do this if I didn't think it was going to make a huge difference in your parenting, in your kids' ability to work out their problems, in your ability to know how to resolve conflict with you and your specific kids as they arise, because they're going to arise. So go to momstrugglingwell.com/siblings, and that's going to take you right to the course so that you can sign up and join me in taking this course. It's already going on now, and you can sign up anytime through June. But if you sign up now, you can go ahead and start now. So again, that's momstrugglingwell.com/siblings, and I hope to see you there. If you sign up, let me know so I can be on the lookout for you. Please come and find the Mom Struggling Well community on Instagram at momstrugglingwell. Find show notes, find ways to support the show with your mug purchases and your tote purchases at momstrugglingwell.com. And as always, before you go to Amazon, it would really help support the show if you would first go to momstrugglingwell.com/Amazon, and then you'll get to Amazon, but you'll be using the show's affiliate link, which will kick a couple of cents back to the podcast every time that you make a purchase. And it doesn't cost you any extra money. All right, friends, that is all I've got for you today. I hope you have a great week of struggling well.